It is time for our Positive Chats podcast, Archer. And this morning, we are going to be chatting with Charlotte Thomason, author of the book, What Kind of Love Is This? Finding God in the Darkness. Good morning, Charlotte. How are you?
I am good. Good morning. Thank you for having me on your show this morning.
Oh, thank you for your time. I'm looking forward to hearing your story here, though I guess looking forward to. I know it's a heartbreaking story that you share in your book, but so important and so thankful that you are sharing about this to help others. Tell us about what led to you writing this book.
Okay, well, that would be a very long story, but to make it really short, so I'm 68 years old, and I'm retired, have been for about 6 years, and I was in a master's program at Houston Baptist University for cultural apologetics, and as part of that program, the very last class was you had to do a capstone project, and I had been thinking about writing my memoir for a number of years and kind of got reinterested in it as I was in that program, had a couple of opportunities to share parts of my story in the class, and it was pretty well received. So I wanted to do it as a memoir because I'm at a place of contentment and I'm at a place of healing where I feel like I could share my story and my journey to healing with the intention and the purpose of helping others who may be where I was 30 years ago to give them hope. And that's really the motivation behind my writing the story. So I actually started the memoir in that final class of my master's program and originally was going to do it as a self-help book because I'm a retired social worker and can do that with my eyes closed. But my professor challenged me to write it as a story versus as a self-help book. So that kind of is how that got started. But my intention was I just really want to give hope to people who are struggling, who have experienced things maybe similar to what I have or the people that are trying to help them. So, yeah.
All right. Well, what did happen in your life? What happened in your early years, and how did you deal with it and cope?
Well, I was abused physically, sexually, emotionally, and spiritually as far back as I can remember by my multiple family members and others, and it was pretty horrendous and. Oftentimes very violent and coercive and very confusing to me. And what it left me with was a really distorted view of love. And I really equated love with pain and with suffering and with power and with sex. And the two were kind of indistinguishable for me. But at the same time, I met Jesus at a really young age because of a Sunday school teacher that was just literally a lifesaver to me. So I knew about Jesus. I believed in Jesus and the kind of love that he expressed in my childish interactions with him didn't match what I was experiencing in my life. So there was some confusion there. But it also gave me this little element of hope to not give up. And I never gave in to what was happening to me. And I was constantly seeking to find this other kind of love that I heard about in Sunday school. And then throughout my life that I experienced, there were several moments in my life where God literally just showed up and saved my life, intervened in my life, gave me hope. And I really had this sense that there was this constant presence of God in my life throughout everything. But it wasn't just that helped me get through and to overcome what happened to me. It was also just my education as a social worker and just learning and understanding things through therapy and being able to kind of put all that together, combining the two of those things to really get to a place where I rarely experience the extreme symptoms of PTSD or any of the other things struggled with. I struggled with sexual addiction for a number of years and with depression and anxiety, and I lived with PTSD flashbacks almost on a daily basis for a number of years. And I was able to get through that through other people who showed me unconditional love and finding all of those things. And so that's kind of what I'm trying to share in what I really want to convey in the book.
So what you've learned from your social work and talking with others, did you experience a lot of what you've seen others experience from this type of abuse?
Yes, I did. You're talking about in terms of the effects of it, the aftermath of it?
Just the feelings and the weights and everything, and the reactions.
Yes. There are a lot of things that are very common to people who have experienced abuse, particularly sexual abuse, that, you know, it's taken several years decades for people in the mental health profession to really understand all of that. And unfortunately for me, when I was starting to really process it and deal with it, it was pretty much in its infancy. PTSD as a diagnosis was brand new, and it was mostly being associated with the military and veterans. And it was so really not well defined, but the things that I experienced in my work with children who have been abused, and later as I started counseling adults, the things I experienced are very, very common. The flashbacks, the intrusive memories, actually forgetting things that happened, all of those things are classic aftermath of having been abused as a child.
Did you, and how many would you say, kind of a rough percentage of those that go through this have thoughts of suicide or contemplate?
I don't really know. I would probably, just as a guess, and I'm going to say that as a guess, I would say probably, 60 to 70% at minimum have thoughts of suicide at some point. Absolutely. So, I mean, I did. I did several times.
How did you deal with that? Did you come close to doing it? Was it just thoughts? Can you give us a little bit more insight on what you went through?
And there was actually only one time where I actually came close to it, and that was when I was in my early 20s, and I was in a really difficult situation where I had made a commitment to God that I was going to stop acting out sexually, and I had ended a relationship that was with a married man. And because my concept was at that point in my life that in order for God to love me, I had to behave properly. It was always a thing of bargaining with God at that stage in my life. And so I'd made this promise and said, yeah, I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm going to give it up. Please love me, that kind of thing, and forgive me. And that night I was raped by my apartment manager. And I pretty much said, well, okay, fine. Apparently you don't love me and you're not going to forgive me. So what's the point? And so I planned out, you know, overdosing on sleeping pills. And I was ready to do that. And literally just as I was about to take the pill, my pastor from the town I was from called me, and perchance they were just happened to be in El Paso. And they just happened to be in a hotel about 5 minutes from my apartment.
Wow.
And he said, you know, we just really felt like we weren't planning to stop here. We're on our way to see our son, but we just felt we needed to stop and we needed to call you. And they came over, they prayed for me, and that kept me from killing myself at that moment. And I thought, well, maybe he does still love me. So that was probably the most dramatic part of that. And other times that I had those thoughts, I think the key was that I always reached out to someone. I didn't ever, I mean, other than that time, someone reached out to me. But most of the time, I think that's the key, is that when you have those kinds of thoughts, to reach out to someone and not, don't wait until you're past the point of being able to do that.
And unfortunately, society is seeing that more than ever. And usually there would be shame or people would be so afraid, but it seems like society now in general is more open to hearing about mental issues and things like that. So that's a good thing. Okay, good to hear.
Yes, it is. Back in, you know, when I was struggling with it, it was not so much that way. But yeah, that's absolutely true today.
We're talking with Charlotte Thomason, author of the What Kind of Love Is This? Finding God in the Darkness. Now, Charlotte, did you grow up in a Christian environment or a Christian home?
Well, that's kind of a question. On the surface, yes, because my dad was actually a lay minister, but in practice, no, because he was living a lie. But we did go to church every Sunday. I attended Sunday school, and I really count that as a major reason that I was able to get through and survive the things that happened to me. So yes, it was a Christian home, but it wasn't Christian in the sense that they practiced anything that was Christian, if that makes sense, what I'm saying. They were Christian in name only, I guess, would be the thing.
Yeah.
But I developed a strong relationship with Christ as a child because of my Sunday school teacher. And I kind of clung to that throughout my life.
Yep. So, shout out to our Sunday school teachers and youth leaders and children ministry leaders.
Yes.
You guys do have an impact.
And I think that's an important thing. I think people, Sunday school teachers and youth leaders, need to realize that there is the chance that there is a child in there that is hurting, and they may be their link to Jesus. And I think that's an important thing to bring up. Absolutely.
Well, how can we look for those that are dealing with this? What kind of signs can we see? How can we help them?
You mean children that are experiencing it? Or
Is there signs that we can look for, if, you know, like a youth leader or Sunday school teacher?
Yeah,
they see some?
I think that it's really kind of difficult, because there are a lot of the symptoms that can be caused by other circumstances, like any kind of trauma. And especially right now with COVID and with all the things that are happening around that, that creates stressors for children as well. But I think one of the things there's a few things that you can look for. One thing is a significant personality change. Like if you have a child in your youth group that is normally very outgoing and friendly, and all of a sudden they become really withdrawn and don't want to interact with anybody, then that's that something has gone awry in their home life, because that's probably the classic indicator of trauma. The other thing, or of some sort, the other thing as far as like sexual abuse, if you have a child, and this is for boys or girls, who is that they wanted to be around a certain individual and they were really close to that individual, and then all of a sudden they avoid them. I'm talking about an adult, right? A volunteer or something like that. That they don't, or they shy away. A child who, for physical abuse, I think a classic sign is if you reach out to the child just to, you know, even to shake their hand or whatever, and they're not expecting it, that they recoil into themselves, because that's a protective response that happens for children that are abused. if they, I mean, of course, with youth, you know, they're very aware of sexual things, especially in the current culture. But if you're for children's ministers or for people that teach Sunday school or, you know, children's church in some churches, I think it's important to look for things like, does the child have more of an awareness of sexual things than they should for their age? You know, are they doing the show me yours and I'll show you mine to the extreme, right? Are they acting out in sexual ways in their play? And I think observance of play is, for younger kids, is really important. And so just being aware of those things. Do they talk about having a special friend that they share secrets with and that they can't tell you what's happening? Because kids can be very honest in that kind of a setting, because it has a sense of safety. And so if they start, well, I have this, we do things together and they're secret, and I can't tell you, kind of thing. So those kinds of things are probably the biggest indicators that might be going on.
Yeah, 1 in 5 girls and 1 in 20 boys is a victim of child sexual abuse. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and not only that, I think that another statistic that not, especially in this day and age, that 20% of the sexual abuse victims are under the age of 8.
Ugh.
So that's another one that kind of.
Yeah.
And there's over 42 million survivors of child sexual abuse. And that was a statistic from, I think, 2010. So, you know, that was 11 years ago. So there's probably a lot more than that now. But that's another statistic.
Is that U.S. or the world?
That's U.S. That's United States.
Oh, my goodness.
That's just in the United States.
If someone is in that situation, it's listening, what's the first step? And of course, the one thing that's going to fully heal them is Jesus Christ. What would you say to them?
I would just say to them to find somebody they can trust to tell, and to find a therapist that they can trust, that they can disclose to. And if they're not in a church, to find a church that they maybe have a connection with. And just don't try to deal with it alone, and don't feel ashamed that you are alone or that nobody's going to believe you. Because in this day and age, the chances are that most people will believe you. Now, your family may not. And so sometimes it's important to not disclose to your family initially if you don't feel like they're going to support you, but to tell somebody that you trust. And not necessarily law enforcement, but a friend, find a support group, because there's all kinds of those these days where you can share your story. But most importantly, get into counseling so you are not trying to do it by yourself.
And I would imagine you don't suppress it. Keep it inside.
And don't suppress it. And don't try to convince that you're crazy, because if you're having flashbacks and things that are very disruptive to your life, then likely they are real and they're not, you're not going crazy. Because I forgot when I went to college at age 18, I forgot everything.
Oh, wow.
And I did not start remembering until I was 34.
Huh.
But all during that time, I would have things that I now know were flashbacks, that things would get triggered, flashes of memory and these things that totally did not match what I had created in my mind as what my childhood was. So I think it's really important that adults, as memories start coming, that they trust those as real and they talk to somebody that can help them navigate it. Because the other thing that's really important is to not to push yourself past what you can tolerate. Because if you do that, then you end up, you can really be in bad shape. I mean, I did that, and that's why I'm saying that. Don't do it. Because for me, it was not a pretty thing. I really pushed myself beyond what I was ready to deal with and forced the memories. And you just can't do that. And and manage it well. So, and I had help, but still, it really pretty much almost did me in a couple times when I did that. So, yeah.
We've been chatting with Charlotte Thomason, author of the book, What Kind of Love Is This? Finding God in the Darkness. Charlotte, how can people get a hold of the book?
Okay. It is just about any online, any website that sells books. I do have a short link to Amazon, which is charlottethomason.com/Amazon, which takes you directly to the Amazon link. And actually, right now, I have a special going on for the fall where people can get a signed copy of it directly from me by going to charlottethomason.com/special offer. That's only up until the middle of November. But so you can get a signed copy if you want a signed copy, and it's at a little bit of a discount from what you can get it on Amazon. But you,
great.
Amazon is probably the best place. But yeah,
and what
those are the,
will people find other things at your website, other resources?
Yes, you can get all the connections and links to all of my social media, to my YouTube channel, my blog. I post a blog at least once a week on my website where I share more of my story, give more insights. I also have a contact page for anyone that would want to have me come speak on different things related to healing or grief. And I also have a page with a list of resources for individuals that are looking for help. Now, they're national resources because obviously I couldn't list something for every state in the union or in the world. So it's more of the national kinds of things. But those are the things you can get on my website. I also there's a direct link to my YouTube page or my YouTube channel on my website where you can get the most. It lists all of my videos. I do videos on YouTube 2 to 3 times a week, and they're very short, and they're just little tidbits of information to help people as they're healing.
All right. And that website again?
CharlotteThomason.com.
All right. Hey, it's a joy talking with you, Charlotte. Thanks for sharing your story and providing help and hope to those that have gone through what you've gone through. So God bless you.
You are most welcome. Thank you for having me.
Have a good day. Thanks.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Again, CharlotteThomason.com.